on the banks of the Grand River, high above the Alora Gorge. This is the Buzzer Podcast. Indie music, new releases, industry insiders, out-of-the-box conversations with guests from the true north, from the west coast to the east coast to across the pond, and from down under. And now, here is Shay.
Hey, Shay here on Air Indie. Welcome and enjoy episode 30, first music history boil down for March 22nd. In 1975, Led Zeppelin were enjoying a 6-week run at number one on the U.S. album chart with Physical Graffiti, the group's fourth U.S. number one album. Physical Graffiti has been certified 16 times platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America for U.S. sales exceeding 16 million copies. Mike and Mandy join us today from California. The talented pair write and produce from their home studio. They rose above the pandemic blues to refocus and pursue long-buried dreams of releasing originals from home. Their music varies from indie rock, new wave, electro, and dream pop to alternative down-tempo lo-fi music. Mandy and Mike, hello, and thank you for coming on the podcast.
Hello,
hi, Shay. Hi. We're so happy to be here.
So honored.
Yeah.
Honored.
Yes.
We love listening to your podcast.
We think it's amazing.
And I love hearing the bird chime in. We have our window open, so maybe we'll hear the doves that like to hang out near our house.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, the bird is called George.
George.
Oh.
George. And George is now an honorary curator for the show because despite every attempt to keep him quiet, he loves it. But he's in my sonny studio, and when I'm playing music, he starts to sing. So it's short of getting him out of the sunniest room of the house, which I won't do. He's part of the podcast,
nice.
So I appreciate you giving him a mention. So we're going to talk about your music. You're putting out great stuff, and we're going to be listening to three tracks that came out. All right, so give us a bit about your background. How did you two start making music together?
Well, it's difficult to talk about our musical background without talking about our relationship. We met and started dating, and even and before we were writing music while we were dating, weren't we?
That's right. It was I think I came back from, I was out of town for a bit, and I came back and I had a melody.
And I had a bass line.
And you had a bass line, and we were still dating, but we recorded, I would say, about a half to two thirds of the song in your closet.
Yes.
In your apartment. And
oh, really?
And unfortunately, that song was lost on a hard drive.
And then we got discouraged, I think.
We got discouraged. Stopped
doing that, like doing, you know, collaborating like that.
Yeah. We live in Los Angeles. We met in Los Angeles, and we're both parts of like all different aspects of the entertainment industry, but both actors and you know, we both got discouraged, but with that hard drive crash, and then so we both kind of sewed more into the other sides of things. But we're really grateful to be getting back to music now, because both of us have a long history of music in our lives.
And what type of acting did you do? Was it in theater or was it on film, TV?
Whoever's going to pay us.
Yeah, we followed the paid.
You're not supposed to say that.
I know, but that's the truth that nobody wants to say.
No, I hear you.
Both, yeah. A little bit of everything.
We
you
followed
know?
The work.
We're both members of Actors Equity and the Screen Actors Guild, SAG-AFTRA, and you know, like Mandy's been on Curb Your Enthusiasm. I have a few big commercials to my name, including one where I air drummed to a famous Canadian band by the name of Rush. So
oh, wow.
I was in a Volkswagen, and I had to I had to learn Neil Peart's drum part to Fly By Night and play it in the Volkswagen.
It's so cool.
It was fun. Really fun. It's been really fun.
I love that talent. He was just outstanding.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
Outstanding.
Yeah. For sure.
Outstanding.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't even a really like hard of all the genres of music that I've listened to in my life. Like hard, I have made a brief foray into hard rock, but was never really a big fan. Like the whole hair metal thing in the '80s passed me by. But was there an album by Rush I owned at home? Yes, absolutely. I had to have Tom Sawyer and YYZ. I had to have those songs.
And now he has 1500 LPs, right?
Like on vinyl?
On vinyl. Yes.
He's a collector.
Oh my God.
Some of them I've had since high school.
That's amazing. I collect vinyl.
See?
Yeah.
Kindred spirits.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. So I love going to the old record shops and finding them. Oh. Getting a find. It's amazing.
I had two other friends, and the three of us used to joke in high school that we thought we were keeping our used record store in business between the three of us.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
That feeling of just digging through the crates and the bins and finding, you know, a gem of an album that you've either wanted for years or you've heard mythical stories about, and then all of a sudden you're staring at it and it's priced less than you would expect, and you feel like you're getting away with something.
Oh yeah, some of them don't price it to market.
Right.
Yeah, it's like getting a fine. So I definitely agree with you. I prefer to listen to music on vinyl any day of the week. Yeah. Actually, some indie artists that I have met in my journey going on the air have released vinyl, and I purchased their releases, and wow. It sounds amazing.
That's great.
Amazing.
That's such a dream to release vinyl.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's a challenge, but it might become an affordable format if more artists opt for it, just like anything else, right? Yeah.
And I personally, I love to own my music. I because there's songs that just resonate with you at different points in your life, and just like I need to own that and know that it's always going to be there. I mean, streaming is wonderful and great for the access it gives to the artists, and it gives to the public of, you know, you can have anything at your fingertips, but for those really special songs, I have to know that I can just go and get it and read about it. And
yeah. So you just gave an amazing lead into your influences. So what, let's talk about that. What music did influence us? Like what's on your playlist?
Oh boy. Mandy.
Well, it's funny. When I grew up, there were no musicians in my family. So I didn't have like a music mentor, like helping me learn an instrument or anything. But what I did have was a lot of different people taking care of me, because well, my mom worked like one to three jobs.
Single
and
mom.
So like, you know, my grandmother loved the Rat Pack and Old Country and Elvis. And, you know, I even went over to her house and she had the three tenors blaring on her stereo. Like you never knew what she was going to listen to. My grandfather loved the Rat Pack and Old Country. But my aunt listened to the Buzzard FM.
Which, the Buzzard, 95 or whatever.
Yeah. And it broke a lot.
That's pretty
yeah.
Cool.
And it broke a lot of major acts like, you know, Rush and Bruce Springsteen, Fleetwood Mac, and Boston. And so I remember my grandfather came home from work really late, and he had there's this one DJ that would just sign off with Born to Run every time at 5:55 on a Friday night. And my grandfather like came home from work and he was like literally performing it for me, you know, Born to Run. And
we both used to lip sync to albums growing up and lip sync to artists, right?
Right, right. Absolutely. Lip syncing and just being lost in the music. And, but I gravitated to, you know, on, you know, what was on my stereo was anything from Pink Floyd to Verdi to Mozart to one of my favorite jazz singers, Nancy Wilson. But I had like just a lot of different influences all the time, and was on a kick for, you know, would get into little like obsessions over this artist or that artist.
I was exactly the same. I had my father gave me his warped copy of Abbey Road by the Beatles. That was the first album I remember owning. And I would I would close the door to my room and put it on my Fisher-Price record player and just, I would escape, you know, music was an escape for me. And so the Beatles, the Beatles and a whole bunch of stuff like that was my first love. And then my friends and I, you know, my music camp friends and I formed a punk band in eighth grade that transitioned into a ska band, and that ska band was together for 5 years. And, you know, I wrote and sang, and that was the same period, you know, I got into ska and I became a Vespa driving, you know, mod revivalist, listened to all the Brit pop, the British punk, the British mod revival, the ska music going back to the 60s, Jamaica. I was a huge, my first drum teacher was a drummer in a reggae band. And so he turned me on to reggae and ska. I had a psychedelic phase, I had a big funk and disco phase. The first concert Mandy and I went to together was Willie Nelson. So there's country in there too. I mean, when I was a kid, I was like, the one genre I will never like is country. Well, the problem was I was listening to I was only hearing modern country, but when you listen to classic country, it's just such a, there's so much heart and soul in that music too. So.
Yeah. The ska influence is actually one of my favorites. I love ska music. And especially when you combine it, when a rock musician adds it to their music. Yeah. It's insane. I hear you with all the influence you're talking about. Music has a way of bringing people together. Like, I remember a former boyfriend, I'll say it on air. We were really big on E Street, right?
Bruce.
Bruce Springsteen in E Street. Yeah. And when Clarence Clemons died, his sax player, out of the blue, I get a message about in tribute to Clarence when he passed away. And it was just, it's like takes you right back to university and you go, wow, like remembering those times. So, it's insane.
I know that feeling. I think, you know, there's several artists that I've raised a glass to over the years. And, you know, one was when Ella Fitzgerald passed, I was just, she was such a giant in terms of defining an entire genre of vocal delivery. And then when Hillel Slovak of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, their original guitar player, died, I was similarly, you know, and it just goes on, the list goes on. But the influences for us are so varied and so wide, and that's why I don't want to say wise, that sounds really egotistical, but they're so wide that that really comes through in our music, because we try to like honor each song with the genre that best fits it and not be tied down to genre. And maybe that could be a blessing or a curse. We'll see.
And I think it's a blessing. I'm not tied to any, but you listen to the podcast, so it's pretty much anything. But that's my musical taste. The man, you were talking about your jazz influence. I forget what was the name.
One of my favorite jazz artists is Nancy Wilson. Just love her.
You talk about that. My favorite was Miles Davis. I'm curious as to why you picked her.
Well, I think, I mean, although I was on like you know, an Ella, you know, kick, Nina Simone kick, Sarah Vaughan kick, and Barbra Streisand kick. And I, you know, I was obsessed for a while with Manhattan Transfer. I have a big Diane Schur collection, and Dinah Washington, was huge to me. For some reason, Nancy Wilson, the way, she turns a phrase, her ability to reinterpret a song in a way that just blows my mind. I mean, everything from,
I hear that sometimes in your back phrasing when you sing.
Well, thank you. That's a compliment. But to some people are like, wait, why is she so behind? I'm like, no, I love that.
At first I thought, well, is she doing that on purpose? Or is
oh
she?
Yeah, and totally.
And sometimes it's just like, oh, I get what she's doing.
And Nancy Wilson is just an amazing artist. I remember when I first moved to Chicago, I got on my bike and I found Grant Park, and there she was, playing at the, I think it was the jazz festival. And I'm just enamored with, you know, the way she phrases her, and also reinterprets a song so that it's almost, she just turns it, you know, and changes it and transforms it and reimagines each song. And she really has inspired me.
She was
sure.
She was a very versatile artist too, because she could do the Barbra Streisand standard, but she could also like do soul, like really bring some of that mm-hmm. that gospel from the church in, you know, she was able to do it all too.
Yeah. But I've had time obsessing or just being, inspired by so many different, artists. So, you know, it's not just her, but she's one of the main ones that come to mind a lot.
Yeah, she brought a jazz sensibility yeah. to all kinds of songs and genre. But, you know, she didn't consider herself a jazz vocalist.
Oh, wow.
No, she didn't. Many's did. She won a few Grammy Awards in that category. Yeah. Overall, she didn't put herself in that category.
Yeah, I think she didn't want to nail herself down. I think we suffer from the same. we don't want to be nailed down either.
Yeah, no. I just find it interesting. That's the reason why I wanted to ask her some questions. But I would definitely put her in the jazz category as well. You know, but it's always interesting the way an artist views their work and the way their listeners view their work,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's part of the magic of music.
That's for sure.
For sure.
So let's talk a bit about your musical background. What instruments do each of you play? Or what's your favorite instrument to play? Because some artists are play a multitude of instruments, and when did you start?
Well, I, you know, Mandy says there weren't any musicians in her family that at least that we know of. But I had a very musical family. I had my mother's cousin was an opera singer, and my family, you know, my grandmother had the piano in the home, people, you know, and get like in the days pre-radio would gather around the piano and sing to sheet music. And my mother started me on piano lessons when I was six. And fortunate or not, I had a piano teacher that she found that was a boogie woogie blues player, name of Jack Bowers. And he was very influential to me because he taught me to read music and then almost immediately pivoted towards like, okay, so what are you going to write? What are you gonna make up? You've got all these black and white keys staring at you. You've got so many possibilities. What are you gonna do? And
that's amazing.
Yeah. And so, you know, at age, I guess I think I started around six, and you know, around age seven or eight, I had written my first song, and from there, like I didn't really get the technique. I am not an excellent instrumentalist, but I, You know, I did study jazz improv. I had a great jazz improv teacher at the community college, a guy, Ray Brown, who had toured with the Stan Kenton Big Band. Not Ray Brown, the bassist, Ray Brown, the trumpeter. And he taught jazz improv. He was very influential. And you know, and that's what led my friends and I to form a band, a punk band, which became a ska band by the time I was 13.
Wow.
And, you know, that was my spending money. and from
so okay, I gotta add, you're 13. Where did you perform?
Well, we played a lot of parties, high school parties, garages and living rooms. But then we played a lot of clubs. There was actually two underage clubs in town in Santa Cruz, California, where we could play. And you know, there was a juice bar, but no alcohol. And then we played some clubs where we were allowed on the stage, but not in the house because we were too young to be in the house.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. That's pretty cool.
It was fun. I love that. It was fun. We didn't, you know, there's a lot of things that we could have done better, you know, but, and I was devastated when we broke up, but, here we are today, still able to, you know, Amanda and I are able to make music and put it out there, which is, you know, seemed so, such a remote possibility back then. Back then it was about being discovered by some A&R person who might develop you. And, you know, and now it's like, no, you just do it yourself. Which is that old punk thing coming back.
I get that.
Yeah, you do.
I know, because you're creative too.
You've been on radio, but now you're just like, I miss radio. I'm going to do a podcast.
Well, it was a multiple things. Yeah. It was a radio thing. I've always been in love with radio and audio conversations. I find them more intimate.
Also, you have the voice for you have the voice for radio. For you sure, you yeah. sound like a great rock DJ. Like you should be saying, "Here's a track from, you know, Fleetwood Mac."
Yeah. I actually, it's my favorite genre.
Yeah,
rock and alternative rock. But okay, I'll put that on my resume.
Do it.
Not that I ever want to work for the band ever again, but it's pretty cool they say that. So let's talk about the track we're going to hear next. It's Are You Now?
Yes, Amanda wrote that.
How did that come about? You wrote it,
Mandy? Yeah, it was the first song I wrote during the pandemic. One of my friends said that she tested positive for COVID, and I couldn't reach her for several days, and I was concerned, and I also couldn't reach a couple of other people that I was concerned about. And so I started, thinking about what I would want to say to her, and then what I would want to say, you know, to a couple of other people in my heart, and then just what I would want to say to, you know, different folks, you know, in general that I had maybe seen on the news during that time. And I started kind of imagining, like, my mind was like a camera and it was doing a montage and like in a movie and just going from one, you know, scene to the next, just visiting them and wanting to send a message of, you know, unfailing love and compassion and mercy and, you know, you're not alone. Just to break through the isolation and disconnect that many of us were experiencing, even before that time, but especially during that time.
And what I loved is how you kind of, you know, even though that's where the germ started, was with the pandemic and the disconnect and the isolation, like you really made it about a broader type of isolation, you know, self isolation of addiction and other things. And that's what songs do, is start specific, but then really touch on universality themes of universality.
Yes. It was definitely meant to be universal for everyone at any time. Because, you know, anyone can feel isolated or disconnected at any moment. And so when I was writing, it was just, I was feeling a sense of pure love and timelessness and, just otherworldliness, mm-hmm. and just hoping to give a message of peace and hope and serenity. Obviously, you know, I did see in one scene, you know, someone on a ventilator, and, you know, and I imagined, you know, this song being like an angel whispering in their ear that maybe their loved ones couldn't visit them in the room.
This was early in the pandemic.
Yeah, maybe my voice could be like an angel just, you know, just whispering hope and keep going and strength and encouragement in their ear as they were hopefully recovering. So, yeah.
But you definitely got that message across. It's an amazing track.
Thank you.
And we're going to listen to Are You Now? No, you really created a wonderful piece of music, Mandy.
Thank you. Michael listened to it when I wrote it, and he's like, I want to arrange, record, and produce this. I know exactly how we're going to do it. And I was like, really? And so he took the song, and he kind of took it to another place and space and in time. And I was really grateful for everything he did in the arrangement and mixing, mastering, and all his vision for that.
I heard that song, and immediately just the first notes of the melody became a hook in my brain that wouldn't leave for days. And so I turned, mm-hmm. that's why I turned that the first two measures of your vocal of your verse melody into the horn line that comes in. And I just right away I heard it and I was like, I hear Alan Parsons Project meets 07. It was kind of.
Oh, I didn't know you thought that. That's cool.
Yeah, there's a simplicity to the song.
Yeah, there
but
is.
What I love is Mandy has written something like 30 songs since the world first went on lockdown. And, she'll say, come here, I got a new song. And, I sit down there are songs that are like, we have to do this one. And then there are songs where I'm like, I like it, but it's not grabbing me the way the other ones are, you know, cause I tend to do all the initial instrumentation arranging and production in recording part. And then, then she comes in and lays down her vocals and then we'll pair away. Cause I usually put in too much.
It is definitely a lot of give and take collaboration and having to be there and kind of walk on tippy toes around, around the artist, you know,
It's hard. Sometimes it's hard to tell whether if we get in a conflict, like, is this fight about the music or is it about our relationship?
And I'm like, no, it's about the music. And can you just take that? And I love it, but can you just let it go for now? Can we pair away? Can we clutter bust this song?
I guess it's that old screenwriting maxim. Sometimes you have to kill your babies.
Yeah. And is that the creative process you usually follow?
It's always a little different.
It's what we followed for the three releases that we're talking about today. So, all the three songs that we're talking about today are songs Mandy wrote. Mandy wrote lyrics, chords and melody. Maybe I've made a few little suggestions here and there, but and then me as the instrumentalist, you know, the keyboardist, the drummer, the guitarist, and I also play a little harmonica. And you know, I pretty much, once you're a pianist, you kind of figure and maybe not for the better that you can pick anything up and figure it out. Some things take longer than others.
And you usually do, except for the horn department. You're not going to pick up a horn. No. But
and in the studio, you can fake it. You can make it sound like you're a lot better than you are.
Okay. I'm sorry. That's okay. I agree with you. I agree with you. This is favorite. I agree with you. But that's... that's a benefit.
Yes.
You know, nothing's perfect, right? And we're in the business of sound.
Nothing's perfect. Sometimes mistakes are gifts.
Oh, for sure. We've had a lot of those.
Oh, 100%. I would say 100% mistakes are a gift sometimes. A lot of times. You never know. So let's talk about Ricochet. We're going to listen to it soon.
Ricochet was the first song of Mandy's I like had to record because she's usually such a sweet and kind person. And then she wrote this song and it was kind of had this punk energy of like, you know, describing this person spinning out, right?
Yes. Yes. It's a story of a single mother on a downward spiral. with, you know, a strong love and relationship addiction that kind of spirals out of control during the story.
Yeah.
So.
Is it a tribute to someone?
No. I was.
Well, you never know.
It's so funny. I was outside by a pool and someone from afar started coughing.
Violently.
It was scary. And yeah. I was like, oh
again,
my gosh.
Again, early in the pandemic.
And I'm like, oh no, they're coming our way. And she opens up the gate and she continues and then gets, in the pool, starts coughing all over the pool, puts her hair up, puts it down, puts it up, puts it down, gets out of the pool, goes to the other section of the pool, coughs, 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 puts her hair up, puts it down. And I'm like, are you going to swim? Like, what's happening here? And I'm like, I am not going in that pool. I don't care if chlorine works. I don't, I just don't care. I'm not going anywhere near that pool. And then I just started thinking, if that, what else? If this, what else? And
you kind of brought your actor, your acting training to writing the song.
That was
you took on a character.
It was definitely an improv exercise. Like, I was definitely an observational improv actor thinking, if this, then what? And it just sort of, you know, went from there. I think eventually, you know, she left, but I was just fascinated watching her just put her hair up and put it down, cough, 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 put her hair up, put her hair down, cough, 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 for a long, long time. It was just, and I liked her, but I also was like, interesting, what's going on here? You know?
Yeah.
Well, people watching is my thing.
Yeah.
Like, I do that all, I did. Well, I'm a writer, you know that.
Yeah.
I do that all the time where I watch people and not make up stories, but create a story.
Yes.
I think it's really cool that you did that. Right? I think it's really cool because, you know, why not? And honestly, I can see how the punk attitude got into the song.
Yeah.
Because it was the beginning of the pandemic. Somebody's coughing. I still remember at the beginning of the pandemic, you walked out and you were coughing in the public. It was like, oh my God. Right?
Yes.
Like, it was like, so, and people expectedly were upset, right?
Yes.
So I can see how it evoked all that. Because, you know, and that's how creatives get our stories. We see people and we see different angles to them.
Yes. Yeah. And on the production side, I heard, like, as soon as she played it, I heard this, you know, pogo beat somewhere between Oingo Boingo or Outkast's Hey Ya, you know, just this driving up-tempo beat. But then she does this, she did this time signature shift into 6/8. And, like, that to me was the careening of the car as this woman might be, you know, having had a bit too much to drink, and now she's like careening left and right, and so the 6/8 time signature goes
the pogo was the cough, the pogo rhythm was the cough, and then the careening was like her seductive sort of like posing, you know, almost like she was posing for a magazine, but it was just her boyfriend, you know, there, or whoever, you know, that person was to her. And so it was sort of like putting her hair up, putting it down. It was sort of like screaming, like seductive, like, whoa,
living on the edge.
Okay, back up there, because you just hit my funny bone. She was coughing like that, but also trying to scream and turn on her partner at the same time.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's so funny to me. So when she coughed, it was like a pogo rhythm. So it was like the beginning of the song.
Okay.
And then she would do, then she would stop coughing and then put her hair up. Put her hair down, pose.
Take some Instagram selfies.
Like, it was almost, and it was almost like she was posing, and it was seductive, and it was kind of sultry. Oh, and I'm God. Like, wow.
What's
and then
going on here?
I would have lost my show.
I was laughing inside, and then I just had to write something about it.
I can see why.
Humans are such fascinating creatures.
Yes. Well, it's good. It's your debut original single.
That's true.
Yeah. So we're gonna listen to it right now, Mike,
right.
And then we'll come right back and talk about the song.
Your long hair, it's up, it's down. You spread your term around the town. You extrovert, you got it down. You tell him how he needs you now. Without your help, he won't know how. Stopping the kids go off to bed. When all is said, it's 3 a.m. Who is next of kin? Who will take care of them again? When you'll be back, no one knows when. You ricochet, you overstay, then back away again. Divorce, to fiance, then a power play again. I need you now, I hate you, can't live without you ever again. your lipstick. It's red hot red. 40 DMs. They're still unread. The principal, he's on your case. Where are the kids? It's very late. How will they ever graduate? Your Uber driver likes your smile. He likes your smell. Here he goes now for the hard sell. Did you know that there's an inn? He knows up north about a mile. Wanna socialize a while? You ricochet, you overstay, then back away again. Cabinet Club Bombay, they came the day again. They wonder what it takes to get you on your feet again. You ricochet, you overstay, then back away again. Divorce to fiance, then a power play again. I need you now, I hate you, can't live without you ever again. Your long hair, it's up, it's down. You spread your germ around the town. You extrovert, you got it down. You tell him how you need him now. Without his help, you won't know how.
Okay, Mike. That's an amazing song, by the way, Mandy.
Thank you.
And now that I know the background, I won't be able to listen to it without losing my
Well, and I just love where your imagination took. I mean, you started with this observation of this real person, but then, you know, you brought in the principal being concerned about the kids. And I love the, you know, I love the turn of the phrases in the chorus. Ricochet, you know, all the rhymes you found with ricochet, Cabernet, Club Bombay, like, I've heard it and I said, we have to record this first. I don't know why. It's just, it is timely, but it also, you know, if you didn't know that it was started during a pandemic, like, we all have people in our lives that are, that we know people that might be living close to the edge at any time.
And when Michael did the arrangement, at first we were back and forth, because I'm like, no, that's not exactly what I want. And then he came up with the next thing, because I'm like, I really, to be honest, the secret is I would love the Pentatonics to cover it. And then he's like, oh, I think you were like, yeah, okay. And so then he came back with the bass, you know, the bass, like, yes, thumping, like, and I, you know, I imagine the, you know, the bass singer from Pentatonics, like,
well, and they were the first a cappella act to really, like, kind of nail electronica and EDM, and that's not my forte. There's a few artists in that genre I do really enjoy, but it's not my go to thing. So, like, I had to find that bass in the chorus to go bow, wow.
Yeah.
And you have a video on YouTube with this song.
Yes, we had fun doing that. It was, we were doing a we always say we're doing a test shoot. It's just a test. And then we went downstairs, and we didn't have very long, because I think we had, like, another engagement, like, so we only had time for, like, two, maybe one and a half runs of the song
in front of a green screen.
And I'm like, can we try this? Can you get behind me? And, you know, can we, you know, and so we did a couple of different things. And then from there, we're like, okay, let's just try to see if we can use this. And
let's try out this new effect that I got in my video editor.
Because I didn't,
again, not a taught skill, but something that I am learning.
I didn't want the music video to be about me. I wanted it to be about a gal that was kind of spiraling out of control and kind of going bonkers. So it could have been any gal. So even though it was us dancing, I wanted it not to look definitely like us. So I wanted him to sort of obscure our faces, so that it was just like, you could put yourself on there. Cause I mean, I think most people have had a spiral event or two throughout the pandemic.
If they've lived long enough.
Right.
I would say that's a given.
Yeah. And so it's just, I wanted people to be able to see themselves or someone they knew on that couple, and not necessarily see Mike or I. I just wanted it to be.
Like, and I took that line, you spread your germ around the town. And I wanted to see, like, these people as particles exploding all over the town.
Oh, boy. Well, I love it. So before we go into track three, I want to talk about what future projects we have in store.
Wow. Well,
You've been writing 30 songs, right, Mandy? So I am sure there's a lot. Are you looking at putting together a full album, an EP?
Oh, we have so many plans. So I'm hesitant to name them should we like start to feel bad that we're not reaching them. But
I'm not going to call you up, Mike.
Oh, see, it feels like you're our mom already.
It's good. We need accountability. We want the accountability, but then we realize that things change, and so we have to go with it. So we'll have like these high, lofty goals, and then we realize we have to kind of move things around and adjust like every day.
I get that because I've been creative too. Yes. It stresses me out when I put it out there.
Yeah, and then
I get, well, what about that poem that you were going to submit to? And I'm like, whoa, not ready yet.
Yeah.
Yes, I get that. So let's just talk about the music that you wrote together. That's sitting there. What genres are they focused on? Any certain style of music? Are they all over the map? You're going to have some surprises.
There's some surprises.
Hopefully, there's some surprises.
They're sort of all over the map. There's definitely more. There's a few more hard rock or rock.
Yeah.
There's some
folky like Are You Now is kind of, somebody said Are You Now was folktronica,
down tempo. But then there's some other left turns that, you know, we were experimenting with. And I don't know if they'll see the light of day. I hope they do, because Michael kind of decides, because he has to do the arranging and the mixing and the mastering and everything. So I let him lead on in terms of what we do next. He decides what we do next. But I hope some of these other genres that...
We want to explore and play.
Yeah.
It's about playing and then it's about, you know, and by playing, I don't mean playing an instrument. I mean, like literally getting in the sandbox and, you know, and building a sandcastle and then pouring water on it. And
sometimes we're like, okay, this definitely, there is a box for this, so we need to stay in the box and color in the lines. Yeah. And there's a time and place for coloring in the lines and making sure that we're really obedient and disciplined about coloring in the lines. And then there's other times when we're like, okay, we're going to just color outside the lines and we're going to use a lot of different colors and we're just not going to hold ourselves back and we're just going to, you know, see what happens in the process and then go... And then see if there's anything gold out of that comes out of that that kind of spontaneous moment to moment work.
Combustion. in regards to your original question, like I think like partly we're kind of trying to follow the Billie Eilish model of like release, you know, five or six singles and then put out those five or six singles as an EP and then do the next.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but yes, the goal is to eventually have a CD's worth of material and, you know, it'd be great to, at that point, if people are still buying them, make a physical copy of a CD or a, you know, as you were saying, a vinyl record. What a dream that would
that's
be.
Good.
What a
dream. Yeah.
Well, I really like the next song that we're going to talk about, Ash Rain. It's a very outstanding aggressive rock single. I'll have to publicly admit I am a huge female fronted rock, hard rock fan.
Okay.
Joan Jett, Amy Winehouse, Cyndi Lauper,
yes,
Pat Benatar, yeah. So I really, the minute I even saw the write-up, I went, whoa, I'm going to like this. And I do.
That's great.
I do. I like it. And I like that you're putting stuff out like that.
Cool.
The world needs more female front rock.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the world does. So let's talk a bit about the song.
Well, I'll say that this, like, if Are You Now was at the beginning of the pandemic when Amandi was wanting to spread this universal message of love and light, like, Ash Rain is sort of like when pandemic fatigue hits.
Okay.
Yeah, it was written in September. And let's see, there, it was, We were doing pretty well in terms of, like, we had done all the spiritual, emotional work around the pandemic. Like, we had grieved our losses. We had grieved. We had also had to grieve a lot. We were forced to grieve people we lost. And it was a hard...
Sorry about that.
Yeah. So we were taking time, you know, spending it, making sure that we were trying to be fit, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. And, but, you know, there's always a point where, you know, I think individuals, including myself, especially myself, where it's just like, I've gotten to the point where I'm
you're done.
I'm upset
at the end of my
right
rope.
Now, because at that time we were, we had the pandemic, but then the West Coast was on fire of the United States.
Literally, you know, Australia had those incredible fires. And then 6 months later, California was on fire in much the same way.
Yeah.
And so there was, the air quality was really bad. Like, it wasn't just a little bad. It was really bad. And I would, like, go to different sites to be like, you know, because I wanted to downplay the air quality and deny it because I just wanted to go outside. And I'm just like, ugh. But it was really bad. Like, when we went outside, it was like, you know, standing in an ashtray.
Well, and the context was, you know, being in quarantine and lockdown, like, our only solace was being able to go outside on our patio. And all of a sudden, circumstances had taken that away as well.
And then, yeah. And so then we're not only, like, you know, sending prayers to, you know, for, you know, essential workers and healthcare workers, but now we're sending prayers for firefighters and first responders, like, in the, you know, like, these many, many fires that were just taking off up and down the coast and of the United States. And so we, so one day, it looked like, oh my gosh,
it looked like it was going to rain.
It was going to rain. And it'd been like, I don't know, several days of just, or 2 or 3 weeks, I felt, of where we couldn't go outside, and it just didn't seem like there was any end in sight to the pandemic or the wildfires. And so
suddenly
I went
rain was coming.
And it was like, look, it's going to rain. So I went outside and I stood there. I'm like, oh, at last. And now the firefighters have a respite, and maybe they can, you know, get these things under control. And we can all have a respite. You know, we need this rain. And then it did rain. It absolutely rained. But it didn't rain.
Water.
It rained ash. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? I mean, it really felt apocalyptic with the pandemic, the drought, and the ash rain.
But once again, you took a literal thing and turned it into a metaphor for human relationship and how you can go to someone expecting to, you know, get validation and encouragement or kindred, just a kindred soul. And because of whatever circumstances are going on in that person's life, you're met with cold indifference. And so
yes,
you took this literal thing and turned it into a metaphor.
Going to the mechanic to get milk. Going, like I heard smart people say, going to the well and it's dry, going outside for rain and getting ash rain, and going to, you know, people that maybe we've known for decades or many years for life-giving, you know, relationship sustenance and connection, and getting like cold indifference. And some folks are really adept, you know, at reigning, R-E-I-G-N, in judgment. Like,
oh, yeah.
I am the one up in this relationship, or, you know, I'm the judger in this I'm the critical one in our relationship, and you must meet my approval. And so there were some, you know, some relationships, you know, I was reflecting on, or, you know, that where I experienced that, or maybe one major one or two. And at that time I had gone to, you know, to them for comfort and got cold indifference. So I was like, what is ash rain in, you know, in our circumstances, in our relationships, in the world, outside and inside, what is ash rain?
Yeah. And also without being explicitly, political. Like, you're also talking about the reign of a leader who's not responding to the cries of the people.
Yeah. I was also thinking about that too. Like, you know, going meeting.
Well, of course you
would. Yeah.
Well, it was part of the whole thing.
Yes.
How governments respond.
Yes. Yeah. And there's so many different responses around the world, and it's like, it's just, you know, like, oh, if we could all live in New Zealand.
Yeah. No thanks. I'm good with Canada.
I love Canada.
Yeah.
Canada.
Yeah. Beautiful. I love it, the whole world.
Yes,
me too. There, I said it. No, but they did do a good response.
Yeah.
They did do a good response. But no matter how a leader responds, no matter what they're doing out there or did, I think they're only human beings and they did what they felt that they could do.
Yes. That's right. That's true. Know?
So it comes down to personal. But we're going to listen to Ashray next. It's a great song.
Along the way, what another speech? Breathe and repeat promises you've made.
I really do love this song. I really do.
That's so great.
I love it too. Every song that Mandy writes, I have to love it to want to, you know, spend a month with it or more.
Or more.
But you gotta stay married, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
I'm only joking. No, actually, I love it, and I was so pumped that it's female fronted hard rock.
Yeah.
I no, there's a drought out there.
Yes.
There's a drought out there. I like to see more women. Or more activity on that. Well,
and,
I really would.
And it's speaking
as a fan.
Speaking yes. of another, you know, another band that Mandy and I bonded over, it was Heart.
Oh my gosh.
Canadian, another more Canadians, but Anne and Nancy Wilson,
yes.
and like just we, like they. I mean, we and we saw them live.
Yes.
In 20.
So did I.
20.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Well, you probably saw them in their heyday. We saw them in 2019. They were still amazing.
Amazing.
And now they do Zeppelin better than Zeppelin ever did.
They're incredible. We got to see. I mean, I'm enamored with Heart. I'm enamored with Stevie Nicks. I'm enamored with, you know, in even the 90s and early 2000s, modern rockers like Alanis Morissette and the Cranberries. I'm just, I'm enamored and I can't get enough out of, you know, I really enjoy the hard rock because I think it's therapeutic. I think I need to be uplifted in one song. I need to feel unconditional pure love and be transformed to another otherworldly place. But then I also need a song where I can
an outlet
for whatever. And it's therapeutic to have a good song that just gets a raw outlet.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I agree with you.
That's what music was. It was music for me growing up was an escape and an outlet, you
yes.
know, like whatever was going, like, you know, nobody has a perfect upbringing, and for my outlet, didn't become drugs so much as it did like self-expression through playing music and listening to music, like coming home with the 10 LPs that I bought that day and lying on the floor in the perfect spot between the speakers so that the stereo field would happen in the middle of my head, and reading the gate sleeve and just lying there and being transported by the music. And that's just like, that's what we hope to do for others.
Yes.
It was definitely an escape. And no, I did see the concert. It was great. But not in their heyday, hon. I actually went with my older sister's friends. And yeah, I did see them. I didn't, to be honest with you, they were okay live, but I did love their music.
Oh, yes.
I did love their music. Yeah, I did love their music. So fans will want to follow you after this. That's what I hope and want. So where's the best, where are you most active? Are you most active on Instagram, Twitter?
I would say two places. Probably our YouTube is one of the best places.
Awesome.
And then, you know, Spotify, even though the Spotify, the streams might not pay a whole lot, you know, we're thrilled every time we count up how many countries are listening to up to us. I think we're up to like 44 now. And it's also, yeah. And it's also like other people, you know, kind of like will give you a chance based on whether or not you have a certain number of streams. And if that stream gets over 1,000, then more people are like, oh, I'll give us a listen. And so like, if people follow on,
yeah, I
don't know. It's
What's with that? I look for somebody that, like, I look for the music that nobody's heard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get that. But it's like a mentality. Oh, yeah. Well, I need to have other people listen to it before I actually give it a spin. I think it's nuts.
Well, see, you're like me, Shay. I always wanted to be the first to discover the new artist. And most everybody else is like, no, the new artists have to prove themselves before I will listen. So
funny. I think they proved themselves putting out the music.
I know,
right? Yeah. And they miss a lot of great music.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. They miss a lot of great music.
That's so true. Also, we love the if someone were able to pay 99 cents for a download, that really helps.
iTunes or Bandcamp or something.
Yeah, that anything
you
helps.
Can pretty much find us by searching Mike and Mandy Music. There is another act named Mike and Mandy on the East Coast of the United States, but you can generally find us most places by searching Mike and Mandy Music, or search Mike and Mandy in the name of one of our songs. Mike and Mandy Ricochet, Mike and Mandy,
Ash Rain.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. That's great. Well, thank you so much, you two, Mike
thank
and Mandy,
you.
For coming on board. It was really fun.
It's been fun talking to you. I feel like we could talk for hours, but then you'd never get to your recording your next one. So.
And your own creative endeavors.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we know you're a creative too, so it's just cool to be able to talk to a kindred spirit.
Yeah,
it is cool. Actually, that's what I like most about the podcast. Doing the podcast is getting into the talk about what's behind the music and what made them happen and how they started and how some people started when they were adults, how some people had a completely musical family, how some people like you, Mike, and how some people like you, Mandy. They had nothing. Like, there was nothing with me. But music was my escape.
Yes.
It was my way to, without going into it, it was my way to get away. Yes. It was my Peter Pan.
Yes.
And it'll always be my Peter Pan.
Me too.
So it was awesome having you on the show. I look forward to having you back. And because I know you have great stuff coming out. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, Shay.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you all for tuning in. Next episode, Mongrel Dogs. Mongrel Dogs are an original rock band from London, UK, formed in 2015 and comprising members from all around the globe. The band explores several rock subgenres: blues, hard rock, punk, psychedelic, and classic rock, without being defined by one in particular. Their songwriting reflects the lifestyle they lead as young artists living in a big city, nightlife, relationships, and personal experiences. So catch you at the pod next episode on Air Indie, from my pad to yours, over the airways. Subscribe feeds at thebuzzerpod.com. Cheers.